I can sure say amen to that. Time after time after time, God's made a difference in my life. He helped me through when I couldn't help myself. Now, you know, that's the amazing part of God and how He loves us today. Got a lot of phone calls this morning. You know, still got an electricity problem from over that way somewhere and back over this way, and several things going on, but about the electricity. We got a lot of calls this morning. They say, you got power in the church? And I thought, yeah, we got power in the church. Got electricity too, amen. We got them both. You know, there's power in this church. Because, you know, I've been kind of revved up. This is a week that we did the Christmas outreach program, and still, well, it's still kind of in progress, but did all the collections and the shopping and all the wrapping, and I've got to be part of it. I guess I've got more neck hugs than anybody involved, and I've done less, I guess. But I've been kind of fired up in that, knowing the power of God, even in a small church, what you can accomplish. And so we'll give praise to God. You know, we give praise to God about it, because He's the one moved hearts and minds to help in the giving and help in the shopping and help in the wrapping and the distribution of all these things. And, you know, they're talking about the number that we affected. I thought, praise God, if we had a big church, we'd change the world. Possible. And then I thought, well, we got enough. We'll just change it without it. It don't matter. We'll change the world anyway. I want to preach to you a little bit this morning, special. Yes, you sure can. That's where you talk about measured, pressed, packed down, and increased. That wasn't an accident. That was over. I mean, God planned that. And now we're taking on some more people. Amen. We're not going to keep any of this money. We told y'all when we took the collection up, we're going to spend it all. And so that's what we plan on doing. So that's going to open opportunity to open more doors to more people. So that's what you're talking about, is the power on. Amen. Power's on, as far as I'm concerned. Are y'all concerned and think the power's on? And that song Beth was singing, you know, all these things and all these things that happen. You know, if we would just every now and then just reverence God and say, amen, Lord, thank you, God, for all you've done. I want to share a few verses of scripture with you, some of my favorite stuff in the world. And I've got a lot of pet scriptures. And, you know, a lot of times, I know maybe y'all get tired of hearing some of them, but you'll just have to tolerate this morning. I want to talk about a situation. You know, we were talking about the Christmas outreach. We're talking about the Christmas program. We're talking about all these things coming up. And I thought about how many times God just rewarded us and blessed us with more than we ever expected. You know, you just got more than you expected. You know, I like that thought. You know, it's always a surprising thing when, you know, maybe you're doing something and you don't expect any return out of it or don't expect anything out of it, but all of a sudden God see fit that He's just going to give you more than you expected. I love that, don't y'all? You know, I think about every year at Christmas, you know, when we double up on our missionaries checks. You know, that's quite a bit of money, but I wouldn't have it any other way, would y'all? Have y'all ever thought about when they open those checks, you know, they get that check once a month, and they open that check, and it's double what it usually is. Can you imagine that? Huh? Because we don't have a bunch of rich missionaries. I don't know of any of them that's very rich. But I thought about the excitement, you know, it must bring to their life and think, you know, I got more than I expected. Let's look to Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 1. We're going to talk about a man going down to the temple. You know, he goes down, and he's got an expectation, and I like that about him. He expects to get something when he goes down to the temple. Now, I believe we ought to come to the house of God, to the church, to the temple, whatever you want to call it. I think we ought to come expecting something every time you come. That if you come in and have that touch and that power of God demonstrated like we have here so often, I believe you ought to change, leave a changed person. Something ought to be different about you when you clear these doors out here today. If you've truly given yourself and your attention and say, God, show me something. So in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it said, now Peter and John went up together at the into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So it's just a description of what Peter and John's doing. In verse 2, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate at the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, I want you to think about this situation. Here's a man, I'm going to tell you, he's 40 plus years old. I don't know how long he'd been going down to the temple, but that's the way he depended on making his living and surviving day to day. But I like his idea and his mind, and I like these people that helped him down there. He couldn't get on his own accord, so there's people helped him down to the temple. And he went down there expecting to receive something. Amen. When we come to God's house expecting to receive something, I don't believe you'll go away shortchanged or without something. I believe God could bless everybody in this house today with whatever you might be needing and more than you ever expected. Now, here's a lame man going down there some, I don't know how many years, but he's 40 plus years old. Never walked a step, never had any time on his feet whatsoever. Going down there, and his hope is that he can beg just enough money to get him by. They didn't have welfare in that day. Well, they didn't have welfare in that day. And so he had to go make his way. He didn't just sit at home and do nothing and send him a check. Y'all consider that one. I'm not saying anything else about it, but at least he did something. Amen. He did what he could. Praise the Lord. Because they some sits at home, draws a check, you know. And verse 3, it said, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Have you ever thought about this situation? They're going in the temple. Y'all ever pass these folks standing out on the side of the road and they're begging money? Huh? Any of y'all ever kind of looked the other direction? Lord, help me. I guess I'm the only one that's guilty of that, you know. And then there's sometimes the Lord moves me to help them. Sometimes he don't. I look the other way. And I thought about Peter and John going down. They didn't direct their eyesight somewhere else. They looked directly at the man face to face and said, look on us. Now, that's an attitude of somebody that knows they've got something to offer. Amen? I mean, you pull over on the side of the road, one of these guys got their sign out, we'll work for money. I ain't found them working yet, but they'll take the money. Amen. I tried to hire one time. He had that sign, we'll work for money. And I stopped him. I said, I got a shop I need swept out. And I couldn't do that. Anyway, but here they go. They're going down to the temple. And this lame man is expecting something. He's looking for silver and gold. That's what he had in mind. Verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And so when they got his attention, said, look on us. He thought he was hit it right. You know, he said, I'm expecting to receive something of them. Now, there's one thing different going on here. This lame man had always looked to man, always expecting the help from man. And I believe this time when he looked on Peter and John, he looked to God. Now, when you start talking about the difference when you're looking to a man or you're looking to God, God can do more than any man ever thought about. So here's this man, and he looks at Peter and John, and I think they represent the Lord. They represent God, and they said, look on us, and he expected to receive something to them. In verse 6, and then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now you talk about shocked. I'm telling you, here's a lame man sitting down there. He never expected somebody to say, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold. I'm not rich in that, but what I've got I'll share with you. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When you come down to the house of God, you need to expect more and receive it. 40 plus years old, never walked a step. Here's Peter and John. They had something to offer. They had the healing power of God that they could offer. So when he told them, rise up and walk. And then he reached down in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Praise God, he went down there for a little bit of silver and gold. He got healed. He can go out and work and make his own silver and gold. Now you think about that situation. Here he is that never stood up, never walked before. Peter said, rise up and walk. Said, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You think about the opportunity we as Christians, we as sons and daughters of God have to offer what we have. There's a healing power of God still takes place. There's an ability and a time that we can still pray and contact Jesus about our loved ones and their problems. This lame man lay there. And thank God, you know, if somebody took him down the temple, if you need something, that's a good place to go, right? In verse 8 or verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I can just see it happening, taking place. Here's a lame man laid there all of his life. Here he goes. He's skipping down the road, you know. He's doing one of these things probably. You know, he's got the dance on going down through the temple. Now, you talk about getting people's attention. I bet there's people been there for years, and all of a sudden they said, oh, what's taking place here? Well, I'm going to tell you, the power and the glory of God had been demonstrated. He got more than he expected. I hope somebody gets more than you expect here today. I'm going to show you the opportunity to get more than you expect here today. You may have come in and expecting something, but I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you. Turn over to Romans, if you will, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we're going to get into this. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about grace. We're going to talk about forgiveness. You know, there's a lot of talk goes on, and a lot of times, as a preacher, I've been here and been guilty of it a lot of times, telling you how to live. I'd rather today tell you how to believe. Amen? Because if you believe right, you'll live right. You know, if I want to tell you how to live, I may have to come down here and get in Tommy's face and say, you don't need to do that. I'm just picking on the deacons today. And Eddie, I might tell Eddie, said, that ain't the way you ought to handle that. But let me tell you what, you know, I could get a bad rep going around telling everybody what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. I'd rather tell you, not physical action, but I'd rather tell you what to believe and get you to believe it, then you'll do the right thing. You'll do the right thing. If you believe the right thing, I believe you'll try to do the right thing. So, Romans chapter 1, and I'll start in verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, and both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. When I read this verse 16, I began to think about why would Paul say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? Well, I want you to understand his situation and his place and his time. He was preaching a gospel that a lot of them never heard before. They'd been tied up and bonded under the law for some 4,000 years. And all of a sudden, Paul comes in and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know where Christ is freedom. And he's preaching freedom to these the people that had been enslaved to the law for all these years. So he said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and what Christ does in your life. Now, he's telling them what to believe. He's not taking time to tell them how to live or what to do. He said, believe right and you'll do right. I'm going to agree with Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not at all ashamed of it. Over in verse 17, it said, for therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. And so when we believe and we live by faith, now notice that it said therein is the righteousness of God revealed. If it's revealed, that means we saw it, we understand it, we know all about it. And so when we start talking about righteousness, it's of God. That righteousness was won for us on the cross of Calvary. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe I'm righteous. If you got grace and you've got God, you've got some righteousness in you. Now, there's still a sin side of us. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. There's still a sin side of us, and God hates sin. God hates sin, but he don't hate the sinner. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise God on that, because we all going to mess up. Let me give you a little illustration of that. There's some things in this life that I just hate. You know, I do. I know it's supposed, we're supposed to love everybody, and I try to. Some I don't like, but I still try to love them. But there's some things I just hate in life. When somebody precious and special to you gets cancer. Let's use Joyce and Jim Blaylock for an example. Precious to us. We love them. We respect them. We honor them for what they do in the church and the work and the praise of God. But the cancer, I hated it. I hated the cancer that y'all got. I loved you. You see what I'm talking about? God hates sin, but he don't hate the sinner. But he don't hate the sinner. That's how, you know, people's precious to us and get diseases and sicknesses that take place. That's how we can hate that sickness and love that person. God's the same way. God hates sin, but he loves sinners. He don't hate the sinner. Now, for anybody that's out in sin, you ought to be on your feet saying, thank God, he don't hate me. He just hates the sin that I've done. You might have got more right then than you expected, right? To learn and know that God loves you regardless. Regardless. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to get out and sin. I'm encouraging you to believe right and you'll live right. When it goes a little bit farther in verse 18, it said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who should hold the truth in unrighteousness. So, in other words, when they held the truth in unrighteousness, they wasn't believing what God wanted them to believe. God wants you to be a believer on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God wants you to be a believer in the grace that the grace that he's bestowed to all of us is sufficient to cover the sicknesses and the illness and the sins in our life. It said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. So they've saw it, they know it. It said, for the invisible things from him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, I hear excuses all the time. I'll get a call or two today, and probably from excuse why somebody didn't come to church this morning. And there's reasons and there's excuses. Y'all understand that. There's reasons and there's excuses. So it said they're without excuse. God showed it to them. I'm going to look a little bit farther over in Romans chapter 5. I want you to get a little bit more than you expected this morning. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so here we go about believing. He said, therefore, we're justified by faith. Did you work out faith? No. You accepted it as a gift. It was a gift of God. Your faith is a mental state. Your faith is what you believe. And that's why I'm preaching today. It's more important about what you believe than what you do at sometimes, because it's a gift of God. God gave me that faith and God gave you that faith. All you have to do is accept it. And then it talks about under His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so our hope for glory is all about being justified by faith. And so this faith is given by God. So who justifies you? God justifies you. We're not justified by our works or our deeds. We're justified by the faith and what we believe. That's why I preach we need to believe right and then we'll be right. Verse 12. I need to cover this. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, this goes back talking about Adam, and you know the transgression, where he fell from grace of God, because he was disobedient to what God asked him to do. And I thought a lot about this sin of Adam. I thought a bunch about it. You know, I'm thankful that I'm not sure what all we'll remember in heaven or what all we'll have recollection of in heaven about this world. And I think it's probably a good thing or there'd be a lot of people after Adam. Amen. He started it. He's the one. You sick? You got it from Adam. You gonna die? You got it from Adam. Amen. God created Adam and Eve and put them in a perfect environment. And until they fell from God, until they separated themselves, He had a perfect plan for everybody here. You'd have never been sick. You'd have never been hurt. You'd have never died. But Adam started it. Be a bunch of people hunting Adam's name up, wouldn't it? I want to see Adam. I got something for him. Got a little bit of something for Adam. Let's get after this now. But you think about this power that God gave this sin through Adam. And it, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. So God had to give the law to take care of this sin of Adam. Amen. So that you could be convicted of it. And then verse 14, it said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. And so, in other words, although we didn't do the exact same thing that Adam did, we're still convicted of the sin. He said death's going to reign. We know that sin brings forth death. Amen. When you go down and look at somebody laid down in a casket, you know it sounds like a hard thing, but you didn't say, well, sin got another one. Because death comes by sin. Without sin, there'd be no death. Without Adam's sin, we wouldn't have died. God had a perfect plan for us. Verse 15, it said, but not as the offense, so also as the free gift. Now we're going to turn to the good side of this. I want you to get something that maybe you've never got before. For if through the offenses of one, many be dead, much more by the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. So who has the most power? Adam or Jesus? Well, a lot of people's letting Adam control and letting Adam control and dominate and dictate their life. But Jesus had the power to reverse that. Let me show you real quick. St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1. Hold this place in Romans. We're going to come back there in a minute. St. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, that's Jesus, and the Word was God. Amen. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, these three agree in one. They've got a Trinity. And so they're all in it together. In verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so here we go. I want you to understand that Jesus made Adam. God made Adam. Jesus made Adam. It's all together. And so a lot of people are giving Adam all this, I guess, letting him dictate his life and how we live and what we go through, letting that sin carry over from Adam. And I'm thinking that why would we give the creature more power than the Creator? You think about that. Adam had a power. He left it to everybody here. You got some of Adam's stuff. You're all going to die. Everybody here is going to die. Somebody said, well, what if the Lord comes back? You'll pass through death in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. It'll be just like that, but you will go through death that quick. That's according to Scripture, that we will pass through it. And so here's Adam. In verse 4, it said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so we need to be giving more power to Jesus than we do to Adam. Amen? Everybody here are sinners. I know people don't like to hear that. I've heard people tell me they live above sin. And the Bible says they're a liar and the truth's not in them. Amen. We've all got that little problem, you know, sooner or later. It'll happen to everybody here. We'll have a little sin. You're all going to die. But why can't we give praise to Jesus? Because he said he gives eternal life. That through him, he gives eternal life. Back over John, Romans chapter 5. Verse 16, and not as it was by one, at 16, so as a gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And so they're giving praise, they're giving glory, they're giving power to Jesus. He's more powerful than Adam, who brought the sin into our lives. I mean, you know, you might think, well, I want to take it up with Adam. You know, I'd rather take it up with Jesus. You know, I said a minute ago, I might want to meet up with Adam. I'd rather take it up with Jesus. Guess what? He'll uncurl your fist. He'll put your hands praising him, you know, because Adam's got no power over me anymore. Adam don't have that ability. Through Jesus, I'm going to live forever. You think about that. Death's not final. Death is a new beginning. This death of this flesh is going to lay down one day. This spirit never will. It's going to be with the Lord forever and ever. And then one day he'll reunite it. And I'll be the best looking thing y'all ever looked at. Gray hair, bald spots, I don't know. Verse 17, for if one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Did you notice that gift of righteousness? See, that comes with grace. You might have got a little bit more than you thought. You might have walked in here and thought, well, I'm a sinner. Well, I'm going to tell you, in God's eyes, you're righteous. Because he's seeing you through the blood of Jesus. He's seeing that, and that's covering that sin. You know it. I've thought a lot of times about people, you know, when they turn the bottle up to drink, or are they going to cheat on their wives, or they're going to do these things. They ought to do that in mind. Say, well, I'm going down here to sleep with my neighbor's wife, but I'm righteous. Well, it changed your mind before we got there. You know, so a lot of times what we believe is what we're going to do. You put it in your situation. I don't know what everybody does. I know what I do. And some of it I'd be ashamed to tell you. But, you know, when I do that, I need to have it in mind. Okay, God has given me a gift of righteousness. God has given it to me by his grace. And if I'm sinning, I've still got a righteous part of me because it's of God. It's not of me. And a lot of times I think that changed our mind and position on what we do. More than what I could tell you to do or don't do, I want to tell you what to believe. You believe right, you'll get it right. You'll make an effort in it anyway. You know, there's some things beyond our control sometimes. We get, as I've heard at last, you know, every now and then we get in the flesh and we've done it before we think about it. Well, it's still sin. But if you'll think about it, you might not have ever done it. What we believe makes a difference. Coming on to Christmas time, seeing the power of God demonstrated not only, now I mentioned the Christmas program, but it's not only about the Christmas program. God works in this church all the time. I see His power sometimes demonstrated so strong, I don't know how anybody could miss it. You know, I don't know how they could miss it. So I want you to focus on believing right. Focus on knowing that you're forgiven. It's done on the cross of Calvary. You can't do nothing else about it. You're already forgiven for past sins and sins in the future. Forgiveness is already there. And I want you to consider yourself righteous because it's of God. It's not of you. I'm not talking about what you've done or not done. God said it's a gift. If you've accepted it, it's yours. It's yours. So now remember, the next time you blow up and want to do something a little bit off, remember you're righteous. So don't disappoint God in it. You know, let's not disappoint Him. Everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed.